good evening. Everybody out there, let's do a volume check. Can you guys hear me sufficiently? I hope you can. What an interesting day. Well, we have eruptions and earthquakes and you name it. Weather phenomena is just building. What is that? I hear it and do not see it. Anybody know what that is? No? Oh boy, that is 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, guys, I hope you're ready for some serious disruptions. Let's do this. There's only one person that can ever call that phone. Only one. That wasn't her. All right. You guys hear me okay? Yeah? Good to go? Everything is good to go? 5 by 5. You hear something in the background? It may be, well, you would have, but it's gone now. Somebody says they were booted. Hopefully not from Mixler. That means Mixler booted you. All right. Well, you guys ready to start? So am I. And it looks like, you know, the buzzword for today is attack. You know that, don't you? Somebody says, Angela, ? Yes. Yep. That's the one. Nobody else can call that number. Nobody calls me anyway. Nobody does. Unless they, you know, desire something from one of the old places. But the buzzword today is attack. And the reason why, hopefully you guys studied up on your Daniel chapter 11 battle plan, right? Somebody says, how do I sell a home when we are at the door? And again, I'll tell you what, listen, I'll tell you right now, right? I'm going to tell you right now. And this is my humble opinion. This is it. This is really it. The time that you guys have been looking for, right, was close. Years passed. This is it. And time will prove. Time will prove God's will. Right? I believe it's it. There are too many things that have aligned. I cannot ignore all these markers in my life going off. I can't ignore that. I can't ignore that. No, that wasn't her calling, guys. That wasn't her calling. I was a telemarketer or something. They do that from time to time. And then the block list is expanded. I hate to block calls. Right? I do. I hate to block calls. But telemarketers. And what's the other one? Warranty, you want a warranty, Car Shield, you name it, right? You name it, they're all calling. Here it is, somebody says your car warranty expired. Yeah, sure it has. Bad thing about this car I have didn't have a, there's no warranty. How can something expire that's not there? Not good. Anyway. I believe this is it. I believe that you guys sit, and I hope that you guys are not giving up. I hope that you guys are not tired. How many people are tired? Anybody here tired? I pray you're not tired. Don't get tired. Not now. Don't do it now. Yeah. First of all, I said it was going to be calm today, right? Because I have tar walls. As it turns out, right? The fiber modules, one of them came in for the technicians when they get here, and those are not tiny. Those are permanent mounts, and unfortunately, I have to go back into the walls again. Are you serious? So, yeah, that's going to be that. I didn't count on that. Anyway, I'll do it. I'll do it. That means we're running at 15% today. That's it. So if we get a little hung up here and there, well, we're at 15%. That's just the way that goes. Right? We'll do our best, though. We'll do our best. But guys, I do believe this is it. Mark it on your calendars. If I'm wrong, nothing will unfold from this day forward. If what I've been shown is correct, everything will begin to unfold from this day forward, right? And you guys remember about that rest period I told you about, the rest period I saw coming. It was a time, it was a span of time, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, where absolutely nothing happened. I mean nothing. It was like a silence of activities and everything else. In that time, people became complacent. The second week, people began to go back into their normal mode of behavior as though prophetic times were not here. As soon as they got a little comfy, they were blindsided. Now, I pray every single day in my prayers. I do ask the Lord to not let me get caught off guard. I had an epiphany, an experience, an epiphany. So it was devastating to me, right? It was so devastating. I do not want to be caught off guard, which is why I'm done. You know, I've been hard charging for a long time now. I'm not tired, not worn out. I'm not fatigued. No, because I'm not going to end up like what was shown to me. And I believe had it not been shown to me, I would have reverted back to some sort of mindset that normalizes prophetic events. It normalizes all of what you see. Because people saw, listen folks, people are seeing things. They're seeing everything around them. Here's the problem. They're saying it's normal for things to be like that. These Hamas, listen to what I'm about to say. Here in America, you have people protesting for Hamas, basically, right? I know they say it's the people. Can they not discern what's happening? You have a prime minister that has a file on him, and people want to collect what that file is worth. To get rid of certain people in this world right now, the price is $40 million. Who wouldn't take that if they're stressed and pressed for money? Here in the USA, $10 million for those who can severely compromise certain systems. And we already know we can't trust half the people in this country to be for this country. See, because a lot of people are in a mode of usage. They don't care about this country. They care about money and fame. They care about their drinks and parties. They do not care about the country. Because if they cared about the country, people would sacrifice something every single day of their lives to ensure this country goes forward. And with some type morals. And that's not what they're doing. This country is being torn apart from the inside out. We have a political civil war, and it's getting worse. America, essentially, is being disarmed piece by piece. Piece, it's like a guy with guns, but he's so tied up in his own, you know, internal affairs. They'll not use them. That's us. That's us. Putin is making strides for his next move, which is going to be devastating for the whole of the world, likely. China is constantly taking ground, constantly expanding, constantly improving. Countries are beginning to outpace the USA in a big way. Artificial intelligence is operational. Generative artificial intelligence has grown beyond leaps and bounds. None of you probably, if you're not well-versed with AI, you probably do not know what's been accomplished already. Because if you did, there'd be no doubt you would look at Revelation differently. You would no longer be blind to the capabilities and indeed what it's doing right now. The government is on its fast, is on a fast track to get laws in place for AI. You guys do know why, don't you? For usage. They're going to use it. And do you know what that means? See, we have about, we have thousands of people over here in this country that shouldn't be here. Germany has even more. Europe has even more. France has even more. We're talking about ISIS members. All of your terrorist groups are right here in this country. They have been here for at least 10 years. About 10 years. They're coming from all sides. They just captured 40 people. They came in through Florida. Of course, you're not going to hear that published. Florida is one of those states. It's not going to allow any publishing like that. You know, Lord forbid that happen, that people learn the truth. That we not only need some sort of filtration technique at the southern border, but we need to extend that all throughout the USA. Because it's getting bad. There are mountainous operations that are taking place from entire big groups from Canada. And the West Coast is no better. No better at all. Too many shipping containers. Too much product moving. It's not hard to have an air-conditioned shipping container full of troops to be delivered, just like goods and services, right? You guys remember those packing disputes? You remember all those containers that were sitting out to sea? There's a story behind that you may not be aware of. Actually, I know you're not aware of it. See, that was no accident. When you're dealing with shipping containers, listen to me closely, because I can't tell you any details, but I will tell you this. Any accident where shipping containers are involved, that entire vessel was a suspect. The vessel itself was a suspect. And one of those containers are likely on that vessel. Just so you understand that. We have pretty devious operations going on for the USA because they're playing the arrogance of certain individuals who like to look good in the public's eye. Right? And it's getting bad. In my opinion, it's going to be the correction we're going to have to face. It's going to call everybody's bluff. It's going to stop the mouths of those who are prideful. We're going to go through something. We're not going to be alone. Other countries are too. In fact, the Bible tells us, everybody, every idol in this world is going to be hewn down. Can you imagine what that means? Every idol? Each person regards something. That means what people adore and what they hold up other than Christ is going to be cast down. That means the world is about to go through something it has never gone through before. And we all understand that Jesus said that, right? Jesus said, there was no other time like it to that very day or would be after. That's what he said. So it's not comparable to anything. If it's not going to be like anything we've ever gone through, you can't compare it to anything. Not as far as the level of distress and perplexities. It's not going to happen when the world anticipates it. It will take place when they say peace and safety. And do you know how close they are to saying that? To saying peace and safety. You guys do understand that when they say peace and safety, it means they believe their plans are working. It means policies have gone forward. It means because people got what they want. See, everybody's rooting and they're saying, hey, we need to get what we want, even in America, right? Listen to me. What do you think would happen if people in America get exactly what they want? Then they're going to say, we're in security and prosperity. Do you know that message? That message that's being touted all over the world. It literally is peace and safety. There are no exclusions. Is that what people want? Of course it is. It's exactly what people want. That's exactly what people are counting on from their leaders. They're saying, well, this leader can make us safe. Peace and safety. Some deal is going to go forward. Some agreement will go forward. It may not be the agreement you're familiar with, but they will say it. They will say peace and security. See, that's the term they use, isn't it? Peace and security. Peace and security. Security means safety. Peace and safety. And when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them. And when they're only going to say that when their plan goes forward. They're only going to say that when they believe they have reached a conclusion. And people of the world, and if you're not careful, you can miss it too. Last year, I heard Christian after Christian after Christian saying, well, let's go back. We're going to go back to the Trump era. I heard Christians. Many Christians were saying, oh, now we have peace and safety. That's what I heard them saying. And I couldn't believe my ears. And they kept saying it. They kept saying it. But see, the Lord said, when they say it, not when you say it. The Lord said, when they say it. But that's what I kept hearing. Peace and safety. And you know, people can't hear that. Do they not understand what's about to happen? Someone says, I don't understand how anyone, just about everybody said that. See, when you believe in a leader, right? That's exactly what you say. That's exactly what you think you have. Now, God gave a demonstration, and everybody missed that one too. People were saying during the Trump administration, listen, Christians who are Republicans, people were saying, Christians were saying peace and safety. Almost like a mockery. And then all of a sudden, all the plans of President Trump went out the window, didn't they? Did nobody ever learn? Did nobody learn anything from that? If you're a believer in Christ, you cannot echo the words of self-destruction upon yourself, nor mirror the exact thing that brings the gavel down on your head. But people said that, which means they were not thinking about the Word of God. No, something happened and people missed it. The same thing that happened with Obama. See, when Obama was in power, I remember people were saying, ah, now we're going to get the good stuff. Now it's going to be peace and safety. Now this, that, and the other. And what happened? What happened? The situation was worsened. When President Trump came in, and he won. What did most people who are conservatives do? What did they do, Christians? I'll tell you what they did. They sit up in pride. And they said, look what we have. Now, nobody can tell us what to do. God gave a Democrat president and a Republican president, and the people did the exact same thing. When you get caught up in emotions and worldly affairs, in fact, didn't Jesus warn us about these worldly affairs? He did. So why do Christians keep putting their feet in worldly affairs? They've not changed anything. Do you know that? Let me ask you guys something. What Christian has impacted leadership in this country that we have felt the benefit of it? Huh? Because I see no benefit right now. In fact, I see us all headed towards perplexities. It's almost as though nobody can stop it. And God warned us. He did. He warned us. My Lord, he warned us. Let me read something to you guys. I'm going to have to go through this. Can I turn to the book of Luke, please? Please. I know it's a little off topic, but can we get this real quick? Just a reminder. All right, so if you guys give me that latitude, I still work for you. Remember that. Let me read this. A sower went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. This is Luke 8, verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell upon thorns. And a thorn sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Did you read that? Listen, Luke 8:8. Jesus, after Jesus said those things, it says he cried, which means he yelled. Those who have ears, let them hear. So Christ was desperate for people to comprehend this. But how many people comprehend it? Well, let's find out. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" You know how people do? And by the way, you know, Jesus gave us an answer as to why he speaks in parables. He said it's for you to know the secrets of the kingdom, not for anybody else. That's for you. That's why he spoke in parables. So if the Holy Spirit is working through you, that same standard is going to be held. And it often is. When the Holy Spirit engages, it often is. Let me continue. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Same way they read the Bible. Listen, let me clarify. Let me add something to this. Not to the words of Christ, but to this conversation. Jesus said, "It's unto you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables." Now follow me on this. He said that seeing they may not see. So to others is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, that hearing they may not understand. And what that means is when you are absent the Spirit, a parable is indeed a parable. But when you have the Spirit, when you start perceiving beyond yourselves, you start sharing in the mind of Christ and that heart of truth, there is no parable. When you're in the wrong mindset, all you have to do is look back when you read the Bible and you were in the wrong mindset, your motives were wrong. You couldn't understand the parable and it aggravated you even further. All of a sudden, when you prayed, when you said, "Lord, I got to get myself right with you," and you had that change that came over you and you read a parable, you had internal understanding. Internal. In most cases, you cannot speak the understanding. You comprehend it deeply. But when you're in the wrong mindset, it's gibberish. It irritates people. People who are in the wrong mindset. People whose motives are crooked at that moment. Because all of us have had crooked moments. Because of our motives. Let's continue. Now, he says, Luke 8:11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. How does that work? When it falls by the wayside, right, a person will hear the word. They'll hear it. But then here comes the devil. How does he come? through other people, through situations, mostly through other people. So here comes somebody else to speak against the word you just received. Let me give you a hint on something. If you ever hear anybody out there in the world preaching, and they preach, and don't get offended. Analyze and apply this. If somebody's out there preaching and you receive it, the people who come after that to start to speak against what that person spoke, why are you listening to them? Why are you allowing the bottom feeder, I'm going to call them bottom feeder preachers, to come up and negate what the Lord has given you at that time? Need I remind you, God can use anything in his creation to preach, to give his word. So why would anybody listen? If I heard a minister, and people have tried that, if I heard a minister preach, and somebody came and called me on the phone to try and negate what they spoke, I'd hang the phone up on them. I do not entertain that. That's junk and garbage, is what that is. I know what the origin is, and I won't tolerate it. That's why I have absolute peace in my environment. I don't entertain Satan. I resist him. Resisting Satan is not to give him an audience. Many have tried. All have failed. I do not consider anybody's words who would dare come behind a minister of something that's been received and attempt to negate it. That's a busybody. They're of the wrong heart at that moment. I won't entertain it. Won't do it. But people lose the word of God this way. Because people often, it's almost a can't help it moment. People have this can't help it thing inside them. And they will redirect the word of God that you just received. Now, this is key. Suppose I went into a church and the pastor was a fraudster. Right? And he's preaching. Yet, I hear the word of Christ that he's talking about. Can that word bless me? Can it? Can that word bless me? See, that's a big question, isn't it? Can that word bless me? Can it? Let me tell you something. When you hear the words of Christ come out of an earthly vessel and it aligns with the word of God, you can be blessed from that word. You're dealing with the word of God, go to the author of that word. Not the author of confusion, but the author of that word. Don't you let anybody take the word of God from you. When it's confirmed internally, man did not put that there. Neither did anybody else. Your father put that there. Doesn't matter who it comes through. It's what I'm telling you. So many times, I've received a word, even from those who do not carry the word, from the most unlikely of sources, from unqualified persons who are steeped in the world and with trickery. Why? Because in that moment, God used them. That's why. When you have that internal confirmation, and you have shut down yourself, that's when your discernment is so incredibly high. But if it's not that way, you get emotional. You know what emotions are? Man called feelings emotions. Your father did not. Emotions are in fact communications. And you must decide if you agree with them or not. Which is why a person can be angry. And then something enormously good happened and all of a sudden they're not angry. Explain that. How can a person change so quickly? A person can be happy and full of joy. They open up an envelope and all of a sudden they are depressed and ready to die. Explain the change. Is that not an external influence? It is mankind who has named and categorized emotions. Your father has talked about them. But it's almost like people don't want to hear it. They would rather hear the psychiatrists and psychologists and behavioral scientists and their categorizations of these things than to yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm interested in what the Father says. I already know what man calls emotions. Your body changes based on, your feelings will change based on perception. Do you know that? It's based on perception. It is based on perception. It's based on perception, which means if you're perceiving something in some negative way, you're going to have an external communication that will amplify that negative way within you, speaking to you. Because with every emotion, there's a narrative. All you have to do is take notice. There is a narrative. With every emotion you would ever have, there's a narrative. It's like something is speaking to you. Thus the Lord said, take captive your thoughts. Why would he ever say, take captive your thoughts? Why would he ever say, cast down imaginations that would exalt themselves above him? Why? That's how Satan gets you. To deny that Satan is at work is to say that they're your emotions. Then you believe the world. But what did your father say? Your father told you to take command over them. He even said, be angry and sin not. Now go read that in the Aramaic Hebrew. And tell me what you see. Now, a lot of people read that and they interpret that based upon man's interpretation of feelings. And in so doing, they minimize or switch or rearrange what the word is. Let me continue. So those that fall by the wayside are those that hear. Then cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts. It says, unless they should believe and be saved. Now that's at the very end. So it means when the devil comes, they start to doubt the word. They begin to doubt the word. Has that happened to you all? You read something, and as soon as somebody stops reading, or somebody stops preaching, or somebody stops teaching, you go back to your normal way of life, and all of a sudden, you begin to doubt what you heard. And sure enough, somebody calls to support the doubt. They don't support the scripture, they support the doubt. They come by where somebody would tell you to have faith, somebody comes behind you and says, it's okay, because hardly anybody has achieved that. It's okay, God loves you anyway. Stay broken in your flesh. It's okay to be sick the rest of the days of your life. It's all right to be depressed and have a Charlie Brown attitude. God still loves you. Yes, he does. But you're not living life. You're living as a zombie. If all this talk of zombie apocalypse, if anything is true, it's talking about us. Because we're the ones that act like zombies. We refuse to shed these things of flesh. We come up with excuses to keep it. We agree with darkness in many ways. And if you don't believe that, have you ever heard somebody say, oh, I'm just so tired. Oh, I'm so tired. Just every day it's the same thing. I'm so tired. I will never agree with that with anybody. Sorry, won't do it. See, because I've been tired like that, and I know what it is, it's a tantrum. What a person's really saying is that nothing is going the way I thought it was going to go. And I'm truly upset that nothing is going the way I thought it was going to go. And since it's not going to happen the way I thought it was going to go, I'm just ready to throw my hands up and die. I'm ready to leave. When you are interested in what Christ is doing in humanity, there's no way in the world you can ever get tired. Let me continue. Luke 8:13. They on a rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. So there have been plenty of times when people receive the word with understanding, with joy, with hope, with everything you would think. Right? But because they have no root, the joy is temporary. The hope is temporary. The belief is temporary. So they believe for a while, it says. And during a time of temptation, they fall away. Now, you know, the Bible says a man is drawn away and tempted of his own lusts. So when a temptation comes, it will try what's within you. For example, suppose a person they cannot help, right, but to go and gamble. They cannot help it because they like to gamble, because they have this thirst to win at gambling, right? So they go to church one day. They hear the word of God. They receive the word of God with joy. They begin to tell everybody, you know what? I used to gamble, and this word is so encouraging. And I think with the Lord, I can overcome it. I'm so excited. This is a new chapter in my life. Then all of a sudden, their friend picks them up. And the friend says, oh, we got to make a stop. I said, okay. And they make a stop at one of these stores that have a bunch of, you know, gambling machines in them. And the person is in the car. And they see the friend who was driving the car go in there and put the money in and, you know, give it a try. And they win the jackpot. And the person in the car is looking at this. They won the jackpot. All of a sudden, they're stirred. And because they want to gamble, because they have that inside them, they totally forget about the word of God. All they can see at that moment is gambling. And that if that person won the machine, what do they say? The machine must be hot. Let me go get it. So they get out of the car, join the friend, spend all day in their gambling. Come out broke as a joke, and they're upset. What happened there? In a time of temptation, in the time when they're tried, in a time when whatever is within them, they have to face externally, because they'll be drawn back into it. They don't have the strength. They don't have the strength. That's what happens when you don't have a root. When you have no root, you have no discipline. What is a root? What is a root then? A root comes with experience. With experience. A root comes with experience. You know, when you're convinced of something over and over and over again, nobody can tell you otherwise, no matter what. Right? That's a root. It may not be in righteousness, but it's a root. So when a person has no root, no experience with the word of God, they can believe it, receive it with joy. But because they never walked it out, they're going to fall prey to all types of temptations. God is also telling you how the word of God is stolen from you during those times when you agree with a sinful thing. And let's go ahead and face it. All of us have been here before. In fact, you're going to notice that all of us have been every single one of these before. Except one. Let's continue. Luke 8:14. And that which fell among thorns, which when they have heard go forth and are choked, listen, with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. That's what's happening to a lot of people right now. Did you hear that? The seed that fell among the thorns is when a person receives the word and they go forth, but they're choked with what? with the cares of this world or worldly affairs. Stroked. So they're not holding that seed either. They're choked by the cares of this world. What are the cares of this world? Politics, economy, all those things are cares of this world, and they can choke the word of God out of you. You've heard that before. All of us have been witness to it and have probably played our role in it. You carry the word of God when you say, yes, Lord, I believe upon your name. But then when you get in a political conversation, how are you bearing witness to Christ Jesus? You're not. You're separating the two. See, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, this is politics or business, and we got to separate that from the... No, because once you say yes to Christ, it is your life, is it not? I have a saying with love. You guys know what that is? Love is a way of life. Love is not something that you just exercise from time to time. It's a way of life. So is your belief in Christ. It is a way of life you choose. No one forces you. You choose it. You choose. When you choose that way of life, why would anybody walk away? The only way you can walk away from that is to walk right into the world. Jesus is the one that's taking you out of the world, out of its systems, out of its way of thinking. Why would anybody go back? But in this day and age, there are folks building a bridge between the two. That's called a hybrid faith. That's what that is. That's a hybrid faith. You think God is pleased with how men conduct business? If God was pleased, nothing would ever prosper against whatever they're doing. But everything bad prospers against what they're doing. The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to perfection. Why? Because they will not stay. They won't stay. You know how I navigate that? When I chose Christ, I did it all the way, not halfway. I can tell you right now, I have no desire for this stuff of the world because I can see what it does. So I can see what murders mankind. I can see what's behind the smiles. I've heard the conversations. I can see how they don't regard the people that are really dying. You know what really gets me is that people in every nation starve. In America, we have people who are thirsty, children who are thirsty and starving. Listen to me carefully. And people have knowledge of this. A leader has knowledge that people are dying from various causes. How in the world could they ever sit up there with a big grin on their faces and shuffle around a bunch of words for the sake of posterity? How can they be content with effecting no change in somebody's life? Because they're men of the world, and you're not. See, if a saint was in power, if somebody who believed in Christ sat in those positions, there are too many things they would never be able to do. You do know that, don't you? They'd never be able to do it, right? I was in a low position, and because of what I knew, I could not rest, and I would not rest. And all the advice that people have was, you know, sir, you have to get some rest. I got so sick of hearing that word. I couldn't rest. How could I rest and smile and have a good time? No, I devoted that to something else. I actually got up off my little Miss Tuffet and did something. Luke 8:15. But that on good ground, are they which an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Do you hear that? They keep it. They don't get tired. They keep it. They don't give up. They keep it. They don't throw in the towel. They keep it. They don't begin to alter scripture because things did not unfold in their lifetime. They keep it. And what happens as a consequence when you keep the seed, the word of God, with you? What happens? With a good, it says, which in an honest and good heart. That means their intent was pure. Their purpose was pure. They did not keep the word so they could argue with so-and-so over here. They did not keep the word so they could outshine somebody else over there. They did not keep the word so they can convince the masses and be the man for that day. No, they kept it. And they had pure motives. And it says, having heard the word, they keep it. Listen, and they bring forth fruit. With what? With what? Patience. It's not overnight. With patience. It means, it's just like the Lord told us. The Lord told us that one man can sow a seed. Another man can come along and water that seed. But it's always God that gives the increase. Do you know what that means? The increase is this. You can sow a seed and water a seed for years on end. God will decide when it takes root and takes off. So it is God who determines when something bears fruit. That's why patience is required. God knows when the time is right for each of us to blossom. And for those who sow and for those who water, remember, you've entered into other men's labors. We didn't till the ground. Somebody else did. In a lot of cases, we did not sow the seed. Somebody else did. We can come along and water that seed. But it's always God that gives the increase, not us. So when you're talking to your family members and your friends, and you say, well, they don't believe me, you're not exercising patience. You are to sow a seed. You are to water or encourage that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you're to realize it is God who will determine when that person's mind and heart opens up to him. That special moment. God determines that, not us. You cannot demand it. You can't do it by your clock and say, well, at 3 o'clock, all these are going to believe. You can't do that. God does it, not man. Man can most often operate under the illusion that he can. But I'll tell you something. When you seek genuine things from your Father, you follow him with a genuineness. And when you do that, you have discernment. You may not be perfect in things. Don't get me wrong. But you have discernment. And with that discernment, you can tell when a person is having that moment. It is nothing short of beautiful. You can even tell if somebody just watered somebody else. You can see the tug of war with the word of God. Because when the fruit comes, the tug of war is over. The back and forth is over. You can always see the victory. That's a victory moment. So I'll say it again. When you're talking to people you know, it is your Father that will determine when they actually believe. Not you. But we have a job to do. To keep sowing. To keep watering. And to do so with an upright heart. With all faith. And for the other person. Not to labor for yourselves. But to have all your labor in sowing the word of Christ for the other person. That means you talk to a person and you look at them praying even while you're talking. Saying, Lord, I hope and I pray my efforts are complementing the gospel you established. You know, I also do that every day. I do acknowledge every single day, I put that in my prayers, that it's the Lord's gospel, not anybody else's. And I desire to complement the work he's already begun. In so doing, I require direction, instruction. I don't want to be one of those people who talks a lot, but to no effect. I don't want to be that. I want to see people break through. I know I won't see it with a lot of people. If I can do my part, right? I've done something worthwhile. That is worthwhile. It's worth the cost. It is. It really is. Whatever you have to go through, it's worth it. I go through a lot of embarrassing times, right? I get about two or three friends. That's it in the whole world. That's true. I have no earthly confidants. I'll never burden somebody with that. There is one I talk to, but I have no earthly confidants. The Lord is my confidant. When I have an issue, I take it to the Father. That's where I take it to. Why? Because I want to be here for other people. And I know what self-discipline is. So what self-discipline is, right, for a soldier, any of you guys who are soldiers out there, you have to keep yourself in shape. You have to keep yourself mentally ready. You have to keep things going in your life for the sake of those who will come that may need your assistance. You have to be ready when they come. So discipline comes in when you have those personal responsibilities to keep yourself versed in the Word of God. To keep yourself clean from those intruding spirits that would seek to compromise the heart that you have. To compromise the Word of God within you. You have to eat crow, because the Lord said, do not do evil for evil. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you and do all manner of evil against you for his name's sake. That means when I'm engaging with a person, I have zero expectations of them. But I have all hope for them. And I truly do love them. Because I will not see a person by their deeds. Why? Because people change every day. I always look for that small spark in a person. That is the most beautiful thing in this world. It's also why I'm not grumpy. You get a lot of people who, they get older, they get grumpy and angry. They do. I mean, they sit around, they got a permanent frown, looks like they have gas all day. Who wants to look like that? Nobody wants to look like that, right? No, I'm not going to be like that. Too much work to do. Too much. So you guys see, this parable is quite simple. You see how the Word of God is stolen. Now remember, we were talking about these folks who intermingle the Word of God with other things. That destroys the seed sown in you. See, whenever that seed is taken away from you, you end up back in sin again. Can anybody go through life, right, and overcome all things of sin? Yes or no? In this life right now, can a person overcome all things of sin? Yes or no? Can they? Or will a person keep on sinning? What does the Bible say? Let me tell you what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says Jesus is able to keep us from falling. Oh my goodness. You know, if you fall, you sin. But if you don't fall, you're not sinning. And Jesus is able to keep us from falling. You know what the problem is? You know what the problem is? We've already determined that we're going to sin. That's the problem. That's anti-faith. I hope you know that. Faith is when you say, wait a minute, I know that the Lord can perfect me his usage. So let me go that route. See, one big problem people have is they're always looking around to see who's evaluating them, and they're always evaluating somebody else. If the Lord said a man ought mind his own business, look into your own life and stop looking at everybody else's. And you take the steps necessary to do what you can to complement Christ as an ambassador in this world. You know what an ambassador is? I don't see why people minimize that. The Bible says you're an ambassador to Christ. Do you guys really understand what that is? An ambassador can exercise the powers of a kingdom in a foreign land. Lord have mercy. Did you guys hear what I said? Hey, I didn't call you ambassadors. The Lord did. There's no condemnation to them that believe, who walk not after the flesh, but in the spirit. There's no condemnation, and you're ambassadors to Christ. The ambassador carries the powers of the kingdom. That means you're walking around. You're walking around with a promotion hanging over your head. The very thing you desire in this world is to be effective your Father's way. And what I mean by that, I don't mean by signing a piece of paperwork so somebody can go to the bank and go get some money out. No. I mean when you go up and touch a person and by faith they're instantly healed and you walk off to somebody else. Those are the powers of the kingdom. I mean wholeness. See, one of the greatest powers of the kingdom is wholeness. Other than salvation is wholeness. When God healed, he said something. When Jesus healed, he said something all the time. Do you guys remember what he said? He never just healed somebody and walked off. Well, he could have, but he always said something. Do you guys remember what he said? Do you guys remember what he said? He would say, go and sin no more. He would also give a warning, go and sin no more unless the worst thing come upon you. Why would he say, go and sin no more? All he did was heal them. Why would he say go and sin no more? I'll tell you why. Because in a healing is a washing. Wholeness. You know what wholeness is? Wholeness is when everything is washed away from you. When those people were healed, everything was forgiven. The wages of sin is death. Death and sin is decay. The Lord takes away sin. If the sin is gone, wholeness is there. When wholeness is there, sickness is not. That's what you're destined for. So what has snuck in the earth and told God's people that they have to be broken? Let me ask you this. Let me give you a parable, and then I'll take a break and come back. I know it's going to start a mess, but it's okay. All of you who desire the power of the kingdom, you won't have it. Oops. Yep, I said it. I want you to think about that. I'll be back in a few minutes. Don't vanish. At least hear what the explanation is. I'll be right back in a few minutes right here at COT. This must be a dangerous conversation we're having. It has to be a dangerous conversation. What are the chances of some major failure, not with equipment, I'm not even going to name the failure, but what are the chances of a major failure when we're having a conversation like this? You know who that is. That's his tantrum, right? But Jimmy, good old Jimmy. Jimmy cracked corn. All right, guys. So my comment was, those who desire the powers of the kingdom will not have it. Now, I'm sure you guys know why. Do you guys remember the person that came up to Christ and said, it's like a person, what do I need to do to get that power? You guys remember that? Somebody approached an apostle the same way, right? So there were similar circumstances, Same thing, they wanted the power. Why do they want the power? If somebody saw power like that, why would they want that power? To edify themselves, to be greater, right? So people would look at them. I want you guys to analyze something. Because it is, in fact, a big correction moment in anybody's lives. And it's a good reminder from time to time. How many times have we utilized the Word of God to make ourselves look a little higher than we did? In all honesty, you don't keep that to yourselves. Don't answer it out loud. But think of how many times people have used, or we have used, the Word of God to regain a stance, to put ourselves back in a certain position again. In other words, we utilized God's holy word for ourselves. Think about that. And small, from small cases to big cases. Just think about that. That's exactly what those people did in times of old. But listen, for the people, you ready? You ready? Here's what unlocks everything. And it's why it's a moment of correction. Because it's what Jesus said. Those who see their brother, those who believe in Christ and see their brother, and they have a desire to have something for their brother, to complement the gospel Jesus has already established, they're going to have that power. They will have that power. They're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit. See, the question is, because the power of the Holy Spirit is very dangerous. It is extremely dangerous. The authority of the kingdom is no joke. So what would happen if somebody abused the authority of the kingdom? Even you and you and you have a safeguard on you right now. And you may not even know about it. See, that was spoken of in the Old Testament. And it's funny when you bring it out that there are safeguards. How many have tried to have faith in something and it didn't take place and you were puzzled as to why it didn't take place? How many did that? Because in truth, you absolutely believed. You absolutely believed. Without wavering. But it didn't take place. You may have fasted. You may have done all that's required. And you absolutely believed. But it did not take place. And how many of you have gone through that. And it made you scratch your head. And then from that point you said, wait a minute. Something is, Lord, I got to know the truth here. And it does put you in this place you're not used to. How many have done that before? And as soon as you get in that place, because you think you did everything required, you say, I don't understand this, Lord. Why that didn't take place. It's part of the safeguard. Part of the safeguard. Let me give you something here. Suppose you were believing with all faith for someone else. And you love that someone else to pieces. And you're believing with all of what you are. And you're praying and fasting. And then that thing you were praying for does not come to pass. But yet you had all faith. What happened? Come on now, we got to get down to the deal here. This will expose something. Because if it's not exposed, people will continue to do it and continue to doubt. Now, we know it's there. All of us can act like, well, that's not some incident. Yes, it is. It's one of the major reasons people alter. They alter how they believe the Word of God. It's one of the main reasons. So what happens? All of you have the answer. All of you do. Would you be shocked to know it has nothing to do with you? It's got nothing to do with you. Nothing at all. See, this is where you apply principles. Principles. Who knows how to fix the people you love? You? Do you know how to fix them? If you had all the powers of the kingdom, do you know how to fix the people you love, even with all the powers of the kingdom? Do you know how to fix the people you love? God says, we do not. Now, we all understand that, right? But see, did you see you just answered your question? When you had all faith for that thing to take place with the person you loved, you were having faith in the answer you came up with. There it is. Lord, fix that person's health. The health may not even be the problem. See? You're asking God to take away a sickness, but the sickness could be saving their souls. You may ask, how so? I'll tell you right now, sickness has been a big saving part of all of us. Sickness will slow you down. It'll stop you in your tracks. It'll cause you to look at the world a different way. And every stubborn fiber in you will fall apart in the face of a real sickness. And then you consider the Most High. And then you begin to repent in your sickness because you start catching what you have messed up. But without the sickness, you'll deny it. I'm not that bad. So sickness can save a soul. And if God would have removed the sickness, the soul would have died, perished. So what is the lesson? What is the principle? The principle is God sees everything and we do not. So there's no way we can have God do what we want him to do to somebody else. No, because we don't know what's happening with the soul. We don't know what's happening with the soul. We don't even know the true state of a person. God showed you that too. There have been people in your life you thought felt one way about you, and they proved you wrong. Everything they did and everything confirmed that they felt about you in a specific way. But at the end of the matter, you found out none of those indicators were correct. So we cannot tell the true state of a person. God can, not us. You see that? So the person in the Bible who desired the power, they must have assumed that if they had the power, they could fix people the way they thought they should be fixed. But in truth, in so doing, that person would have destroyed a lot of folks. You take away a sickness prematurely. You take away somebody's jail term prematurely. You could absolutely murder them. Destroy them eternally. Then that blood will be on your hands. How about a demon leaving a person? Surely God doesn't want anybody possessed. So can you just go up to a possessed person and cast a demon out? Huh? How many believe you can do that? How many believe that's what you're supposed to? You're supposed to go up to a person possessed and cast the demon out. How many believe that? What does the Great Commission say? What does the Great Commission say? Do you guys know what it says? I'm sure you've heard that before. The Great Commission. Are you not supposed to go out there with the gospel? Are you not supposed to do the things the Lord did? Are you not supposed to cast out devils? Huh? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. But here's the deal. Suppose a person, you know a person, has something operating within them. Can you determine when it should be cast out? No, you cannot. Let me tell you why. Only God knows the true state of the heart of the individual. If the heart of the person is not right, you can cast out every devil from a person and you can end up murdering that person. Why? Because the Lord has told us how it works. You cast out these spirits from a person. The house is swept clean, which means they're empty. Now they're empty, and this demon goes out and finds nothing but dry places. Nothing will satisfy it. It'll come back to that person to see what the status of that vessel is. And if it's swept clean, nothing in it, it's going to go out and find seven worse than it is. And the person's end condition is going to be worse than the first. See, if the house is swept clean, it's empty. You're not supposed to be empty. Neither are they. If they cannot accept Christ, that's a death sentence. Do you see how that works? If they're not ready to receive Christ of themselves, it's a death sentence. Do you see how that works? So if you had authority, which you do, to cast out devils, then how do you do it? You have to prepare yourselves. And you have to have patience and wait upon the Lord for his sending. You can't sin yourself. You must function and operate by instruction at that point. Because if you don't know, you're blind. Why would God want any blind person wielding authorities of the kingdom of God? See, those are simple things. You guys remember that small dream I had where after coming off the island, this woman in a grocery store was converted to something else. She brought a baby to me. And I could tell in that I was filled with the Holy Spirit because I said, can I pray for the child? Can I touch the child? She said, yes. And when I did so, the baby was healed and she was ecstatic. I was not ecstatic. I was thankful to the Lord for the sake of the child, but I moved on. I didn't even revel in the moment. There was none of that. It was a different feeling altogether. But then something happened. Another woman with another child that was real sick went right behind there where that first woman was. It was a child over there. She was sick. And it was like a nanny, midwife or something sitting back there watching me. And the mother was distraught because of the child. And the mother walked away, and that nanny back there said, you better not do none of that stuff with this child. Well, in my heart of hearts, I knew that God would heal the child. I already knew it, that God would heal the child. But that woman behind was evil, and she said, you better not do any of that Christian stuff with this child. Guess what I did? The child was so sick and it was about to die. In my mind, I determined, well, if I don't act, this child is going to die. And so it was an infant, too. So I took the infant and raised the infant up. And the infant hit the floor. I dropped the infant. I knew the infant was dead. I knew it. And in that dream, vision, whatever it was, I was a wreck. The first thought that hit my mind was, I have dishonored the kingdom of God. I have shamed the work of Christ. That's what was coming through my mind. Because I acted outside of God's instruction. I felt horrible. Then the mother comes back, and that woman, that evil woman said, I told you, I told you, I told you. That's what she said. I went to pick the infant up. When I picked it up, I knew the infant was dead. When I laid that infant on the table, that infant was whole. I had nothing to do with that. The Lord, for his name's sake, did that. And at that moment, even in the dream, I was overcome with so much correction, so much fear, so much joy, a lot of relief, a lot of sorrow. And I teared up in the dream, in the whatever it was. And when I woke up, I was still in the same mindset. And it was hard for me to shake that off. So then in this scenario, in this vision, dream, whatever it was, I see what the Lord was doing. Because that same thing is going to happen to many of you. I already told you, it's going to happen to many of you. Not one of us. Not one of us can have that until we go through a type training. And that type training is to walk the Word of God out no matter what. Somehow I knew to ask permission before I touched or prayed for anybody. I didn't just do it. But the Lord, for his name's sake, because I thought I was a goner, I did. But I felt so sorry for the mother and the child because of me. But for his name's sake, the Lord touched that child anyway. Not because of me, right? The baby died because of me. But for his own name's sake, he did that. At that moment from that experience, I know every day of my life, I don't just intrude with the Word of God. It is imperative and important to follow the instruction of the Lord, not some made-up feeling inside either. God does a perfect work. And if we are vessels, then that means we're the only ones that can mess up that perfect work if we start to act on our own. But I ask you this. Who would have the patience? Who would exercise the patience? As is stated in Luke 8:15, who would have the patience to wait upon the Lord no matter what you see, no matter what you're confronted by? Who would wait upon the Lord in truth? Or would we act on our own? See, with the Holy Spirit, you can't act on your own. Because if you act on your own, you could end up blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And does everybody know what happens when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit? You're done for when that happens. Why? Because to be a partaker of the power of the Holy Spirit is to taste of the heavenly gift, to be a partaker of the powers at the throne of the living God. That means you're not operating by faith in those things. You're operating by a knowing. When you operate by faith, you can easily be forgiven. When you operate by a knowing, you make a final choice. In the Bible, it says, a person who does that, they cannot bring themselves to crucify Christ again, which means they give up the ghost. God does not kill anybody for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Every example in the Bible, the people gave up the ghost. The guilt was so heavy, they gave up the ghost. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave up the ghost. Nobody killed them. Ananias first. His guilt was so heavy he gave up the ghost and hit the floor dead. His wife came back and did the same thing. He said, are you going to join your husband? She hit the floor dead. They gave up the ghost. And then it's explained in the Bible. You know, in that dream before any of that happened, the Lord had Satan confront all of us who were there on that island. And Satan was trying to get us to attack him through other people. He was trying to get us to strike back. See, I knew if we struck back at any moment, Satan would overcome us. Because Satan can only overcome a saint when they're in violation, in that moment of violation of what they know to do. Now, he can't fully consume a person. And all of us are witnesses that evil can touch you in this world. All of us are witnesses to that. What Satan was doing was poking and prodding. He'd bring up a scenario that would scare you to pieces, whether it be by a knife or a gun or something else, to try and get you to strike back. And on that island, I remember telling, don't do it. I said, don't do it. That's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to strike back. And that will void what the Lord has for you. And what does the Lord have for us? To receive the power of the Holy Spirit. To go instantly to work in the world that was in shambles. Consequently, I told you guys about this, that on that island, the rains were coming. You guys remember the storms that were coming? The rains were coming. The storms were so bad, most people, they left. But we couldn't find transportation off the island. So we went through the crucible, and all of us were confronted by Satan. In my case, I walk around with no fear. I went in this room, and this thing manifested in front of me. I don't, listen, I've never felt fear like I felt in that experience. And every time I tried to rebuke, gibberish was coming out of my mouth. I can only hear gibberish. I couldn't even form my words. Well, come to find out, the reason why Satan confronted us, that was the last act of purging. When Satan confronts you directly, he exposes the deep root of any darkness that could be within you. When he does this, it is because God is going to uproot. He's going to pull the whole thing out with the root. You'll no longer contend with it. God will do this. In these, listen, you don't have to believe me, but in these days that we live in, if you have a root, if Satan manifests in your life, and it causes something to surface, and you're sitting there asking yourself, why is this surfacing now? God is exposing it to uproot it forever. You cannot carry the Holy Spirit with a deep-rooted darkness within yourselves that could surface at any time. So what the Lord did was he bought the origin of that darkness, which is Lucifer. And he directly confronted people. And when he did so, the darkness in that person began to rise. Listen to me. That could mean your addiction. You could possibly have been sober for 10 years. And all of a sudden the cravings return. And what I'm telling you right now is that's the major purging. It's a major purging. God will have you overcome these things. See, because in the Bible it says a man is drawn away and tempted of his own lust. So what happens if that lust surfaces and you hate it? God will uproot it. Now when it's no longer in you, you can no longer be tempted by it. See how that works? When the root is gone, when nothing else is in you, Satan is powerless over you. There is no situation that can tempt you, that can cause you to fall. There's nothing. According to what the Lord gave me, that's going to happen in these days. And I hope you're ready for that. I wouldn't be surprised if some people are noticing thoughts of years ago coming back all of a sudden. Desires of years ago coming back all of a sudden. Listen to me carefully. We cannot take this root out. That's something God will do. When the root, in me, guess what surfaced? Fear. I mean, a fear I thought I did not have. And it shocked me. But I was scared. I was frozen. I was scared so bad. When the Lord pulled it out, I stood up. I mean, I stood up for the first time in my life. I stood up. That's what it felt like. I stood differently. And because there was no fear, there was also no confusion. Clarity was everywhere and in everything. had I acted through this little test time, right, I wouldn't have gone through the rest of the process. And that whole process was God was selecting vessels to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in these days. Because I told you I was in a grocery store that was converted into some makeshift ER. The registers were still there, but it was clothing and cloths and tissues and certain supplies on the registers. And people would walk through the aisles to a triage type place. So if the babies were sick or something like that, they go through the cash register, right? After they were received, they had the little boards, not electronic devices, but a little board. They would just jot your name down and stuff like that to see what you needed, and somebody would rush back and go get supplies. There were makeshift grocery stores, became these makeshift ERs. And I'm telling you, they were packed to the rim, full of babies. Full of babies and full of people. It was converted. I remember looking out in the back, and everything was different. That time happens after the storms. The storms that came cover the entire sky, not just for the one place, but for every place. A bunch of storms came. The rains were coming, and people were scared to death when the real dark one came. See, because other storms had already come, but this black storm came. I mean, a hefty storm. You know what the island was? Do you guys know what the island was? That's us. That's us. Listen to me. It means when the storm comes, many will flee from places like this. It's not going to be worth it anymore. It's not going to be convenient. And when it's no longer convenient, they're not coming. If a person, if this were not convenient, nobody would be hearing me. Do you know that? See, when Christianity is no longer convenient, how many are going to really show up? When people are in your face about Christianity, and it's, you're in it now. It's forming right now. You're already seeing the process. It has already begun. But when people hate Christianity, who's coming? That's that black storm. That black storm comes. It's a storm of storms. It's harsh, and when it befalls the world, these gatherings like this will minimize. There'll be some here, not all. No more big numbers. No more of that. There'll be no more of that. But in that exact time, God will refine his children like never before. Can you see what he's about to do? This stuff that's coming upon the world, it's going to cause the truth of all of us to surface. Should a person believe in him, they'll continue to believe. But if they don't, they're going to revert to other ways of the world. They're going to make an instant split and decision, not a split decision, but a split and a decision about their Christianity. Many will go into survival mode, into some other mode. Some will stay faithful. See, because in Revelation, you're dealing with a remnant. There's a great number of people that no man can number who came out of great tribulation. Which means, if they came out of it, and that was a final count, did mean they all came at one time. That's not what that means. They were already there. But we know there is a significant amount of people left here on the earth in the beginnings, before they go through things. The numbers dwindle. The refinement will be complete. And those who are left will walk with power in a very different way. All your life has been preparing you for your destiny that the Lord has upon your life. Now what that destiny is, the Lord knows. I'm just telling you what the Lord showed me. And somehow, I know it's going to take place and it won't fail. Your family members, many will flee. That means they'll part company with you. Many people you trust are going to part company with you. They will seek to save their own lives. They will adopt a new way of life to save themselves. Those who remain faithful, the Lord will utterly clean them, thoroughly clean them, causing all iniquity to pass from them. They will inhabit the authorities and powers of the kingdom right here in this earth. There will be a job to be done. You see, there'll be people here who have not been saved, who didn't get the message yet. But you will bring that message to them. Similar to how the disciples turned apostles, introduced the gospel to others. It'll be very similar. That's why I believe God is refining things out. That's why God has put a seriousness within many of us right now. See, many of us have gotten very serious about the Word of God, very concerned about our true status as Christians, as believers. How many of you have prayed tonight and said, Lord, I hope I'm taking the right direction. Lord, I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to follow somebody who's going straight to hell itself. Lord, I need the real word. I need your word. I don't want the phony baloney stuff. I don't want all that stuff. I don't want it. I want the real deal. Because the word has become serious to you lately. You know who put that spirit in you? Your father. Now, he didn't do that for no reason. If God put that type of serious desire within you, you better believe something is on the horizon. And that will be necessary. God will always equip you for the days ahead. And if you carefully look at what God equips you with, you'll be able to see what the days ahead are. Because God does everything with a high purpose. Everything. And it's happening to many, if not all of us. Most of us. It's happening to most of us. It's almost like a calling within a calling. Is it not? I mean, it will not leave you alone. How many have tried? You have tried just to sit back and relax, and it's not working. How many times have you thought to do something you did last year, and it was innocent, but you couldn't do it? How many have thought to do something for the future, and you say, wait a minute, I can't get tied up in that? How many of you have had altered lives because you cannot commit to these long-term things anymore? Because somehow you know there's no such thing as long-term. It's almost like what you're about to go into is a waste of time, if you know, with these endeavors of the world. And it's causing a real conflict within you. You want to do things. You see other people doing things, but you yourselves, there's a great caution tied to it. Do you guys remember when you were young and you knew you would be around tomorrow? You know, you remember that? I remember people would say, you say, Lord willing, for tomorrow. But there was an element within you that knew you would be here the next day. You knew you would be here, but you can't say that now. You can't. And it is true that every single day, people are looking on the news or wherever they have to look because they know at some point it's all going to start going wrong. It's almost like we're looking for the inevitable, and large groups have not done this before. Do you not know that's even shaped? The algorithms in Google, MSN, they had to filter all that out. Do you know that? Because the Christians, search engines have had to be filtered because of what you enter into them. Says something. Or say, let that out. Just tell Google, go ahead and do it. Tell Christians how many people have been searching these consistent searches every single day, so much so that they have to be filtered out of the results so that they can't be parsed with new searches. Or else somebody would look up something that even contains a word. But then certain Christian phrases, and that's all they would get is a bunch of Christian, you know, documents. They don't want that, but it's happening. Same thing with Bing. Same thing. ChatGPT. It started happening with them. Christians have gotten a hold of this, and they've been asking, right, this system questions. Even the non-believers are asking about Revelation. They had to do the same thing. Same exact thing. They had to give a hard directive to ChatGPT. If Christians are searching for this, then it's on their hearts. And if it's on their hearts, God determines the heart of the body. We don't do that. God does that. If we all start feeling something, you better believe the head initialized it. We are the body. Christ is the head. If we all start feeling something, you better believe the head initialized it. It's coming from the head, who is Christ. It's just not something you conjured up. It's coming from Christ, who is the head of the church, and we are the body. See, that should be an old boy moment right there. In my opinion, this is it. This is it. This is actually it. Let me see what time it is, guys. Okay, listen, I got to go. I hate that. I can't believe this much time went by that quickly. I got to tear some walls out. I do. I'm going to get this place ready for you guys. We'll get it. Don't worry. We're going to hit the ground running. We will. Lord willing, we're going to do that. I hope that nothing obstructs it. All right? That's what I'm praying for. Nothing gets in the way of this. However, God's will be done. He knows. Somebody has a question. How come they in the... Oh, boy, I missed that one. Let me go back. It says, how come at the end of the book, after the 1,000 years, rain after New Jerusalem comes down, after there is a new heaven and a new earth, in Revelation 2:15, there is still dog, sorcerers, and whoremongers, and adulterers, and whosoever loveth the make of the lies, still on the earth outside the gates of this city. I thought everything was in new. Well, if you read that carefully, after the 1,000 years are expired, Satan is loosed, right? Now, when the 1,000-year reign hits, it's under the rule of Christ. That's when men learn the Feast of Tabernacles. That's when, you know, countries, nations come up from year to year, right? So it's going to be a remake of the total planet. It does not mean at the start of that 1,000 years that everybody all of a sudden is holy. No. The influence of Satan is taken away and everybody's in peace. When Satan is loosed, his influence is back again. And instantly, people are changed on the face of the earth. Right? In context, when you read that, it's quite simple. It's very simple indeed. And it's very purposeful. Very, very purposeful. After the 1,000 years have expired, right? Everything is severely short. During the 1,000-year reign, when they rule and reign with Christ, when people are ruling and reigning with Christ, this world is under the rule of Yahshua HaMashiach. And those who were faithful with him are ruling with him. Who are they ruling over? Over the human beings of this earth. That's who they're ruling over. Now, if you read carefully, after that 1,000 years has expired, the earth is Gog and Magog. Revelation chapter 20, right? That's Revelation chapter 20. Satan is released out of his prison, Revelation 27, I believe. And then it goes on to talk about Gog and Magog. And then it describes God's intervention immediately. And then it describes how they're thrown into the lake of fire, right? It describes how the books are blown out. It describes how the sea gave up the dead. It describes how death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, the second death. It describes that, right? And all those people who were not written in the book of life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Then it says in chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. See how that is? There are no evil people here. None. Not a one. That's it for them. They are kaput. Gone. Right? Gone. So after that 1,000-year reign, judgment happens, and that's it. That is it. What has happened in a lot of readings is people have not kept Revelation in full context. That's what has happened. And so people have a varied belief on different issues. When you read it in context, you get the whole picture. If it's ever taken out of context, it will severely alter the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is why there's a warning with Revelation. Anybody who adds to this book, the plagues are going to be added to them. Anybody who takes away from this book their portion of life, their portion of eternal life, is going to be taken away also. So no one should add to or take away from the writings of this book, but they should leave it as it is. As it is. Men are bold and foolish. So many, many people have so foolishly taken it out of context. That is a danger to them and a snare to those who would believe. The book of Revelation outside of the context as it was given to John. That's all. Good question, though. That's actually a common question, believe it or not. That's a common one. Listen, folks, I'm going to say God bless each of you. And yes, we can look into Ezekiel 13. We'll do that. We'll do that. We'll do that. Folks, somebody says what? Oh, did you guys have another good question? Let me see. Somebody says, what is the significance of the 7-foot man with the straw hair and prosthetic arm? Oh, you have to leave that one where it was, because you have to get that from where it was spoken. I can't revisit that. If I do revisit that, and that image pops up, right, then folks are going to flood this place for the wrong reasons. Right? If a person says anything that's absolutely accurate, that it blows people's minds, then what they're going to do is find the person who said it. Then they're going to flood wherever that place is for the wrong reasons. And so there are certain things I can't, they're in the archives. I can't revisit them. Somebody asked me something about that, but it was about something else that came to pass. And they said, how come people aren't talking about this? Right? And I said, because I've asked people not to. Once I talk about something, normally it's a year or two before it ever takes place, because I do not want folks flooding me saying, oh, yes, you can see this. And I don't want people to do that. That's the wrong reason to be here in this place. To come see a person, right, who got something right, who uttered something that they You know, see, that doesn't mean a thing. This place should be about the gospel, Christ, his principles, overcoming, having the victory in this life, but also being sober, understanding what season it is, and for nobody to fall down and die, but everybody to walk, to see that they can walk, to see that God assured that they can walk, that he walks before them, he clears the path, that this is for them. Revelation is for you, not against you, it's for you, it's for you, it's for all of you. People still write in about those horses they got loose. You know, that looks like your graphic. That's what they say. Why did the white horse have... Somebody said what did somebody say? Somebody said... they said something weird. They said, well, somebody in COT must have had something to do with that. Really? They went that far. So anyway... There we are with that, right? I shy away from all that people praise stuff. That's dangerous. It is. And it takes away from Christ. See, people don't have a relationship with Christ in truth. They're going to die. If you do love your brothers and sisters in this world, you don't want them to die. You want them to live. If you are children of the Most High, then the love of humanity is also in you too. And you desire upon those in this world the same thing your Father does. That none perish outside of him. Somebody says, Mike, we're to help all those people that will need our help near the future. What can we do now apart from strengthening our love and honor in Christ to prepare like food, water? Well, the first part of preparation, right, is absolutely having confidence in Christ. Ask yourself this question. Do you really have confidence in Christ Jesus? How do you try that? You need to examine. You need to soberly examine your walk of faith. And here's what that means. If you're living your life for a week and you're doubting things, that's not faith. That's not faith. If you're engaging in arguments and things of that nature, right, you've slipped up and gotten back into flesh. So here's a challenge. Overcome those things of flesh. Identify them first. And through prayer, supplication, if you must, overcome them. But attempt to walk in a godly manner, right, knowingly. Within a week, in a week's time. In other words, don't go a moment without thinking about the Word of God. Have Christ at the forefront of your mind in everything that you do. Begin to look around at work, in your good and bad situations, and say, thank you, Lord. I know you're working something. I may not know what. I know you're working something. Thank you. And those things you used to complain about, or maybe you counted some losses, don't do that anymore. Just be thankful for what you have, understanding everything could be worse. When you read the Bible and you read Scripture, don't just read it and shut your book, but attempt to apply it to your life right away. Begin to walk out the Scriptures that you read so that you gain experience, so that you can have that trust with the Lord. Purposely do not edify flesh in that week. Then at the end of the week, see where you are. See, because the Lord will answer your questions. He will instruct you. The problem is, we speak in our minds and hearts so loud, we refuse to hear anything else. We have also prioritized ourselves above the Lord's gospel. Remember something, it's the Lord's gospel. The question is, do you desire to accomplish the work of the Lord he's already begun in the earth? If so, we can't do it our way. We must surrender to the Lord's way. In my case, I totally, absolutely agree with the way the Lord is doing it. In fact, I think his way is a beautiful way. That means to put your reading in the Word and to put your faith in practice in your personal life. And also, during that entire week, have no conversation about anybody else unless you're talking to them face to face to assist them. Don't talk to somebody else about anybody else. And then see where you are at the end of that week. See, that's a lot to accomplish, isn't it? But those things are necessary for the times to come. Because yes, we have natural things coming. We have things from space coming. But there's also a spiritual assault coming. There's no need to have food, water, or anything else if you cannot resist the devil. The Lord gives us instruction that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the enemy. And those days are upon us. They are upon us. We need to be sure of our salvation. Sure. With that, folks, God bless each of you. I'm going to join you all tomorrow. I will. I know tomorrow's Thursday, but I have to join you anyway. We have news tomorrow. We do. We have news. But I can tell you right now, tonight, we're there. So open up your expectations list, because everything is coming. It will. Don't let it overwhelm you. Don't let the initialization of this new war alarm you. Don't let it. War is going to scare people this time. Please don't let it scare you. Don't do that. Continue in your walk of faith and ask the Lord how you may assist those around you. Those of you with families, be a covering for your family. Go all in. Have no backup plan, but go full steam ahead with Christ, regardless of the outcome. Now it's time to apply what you have learned, to walk out what you proclaimed. Do that by the Lord's instruction, so that you're ready to move when he says move. And I'll do my best to assist you guys as best I can for as long as I can in that. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time right here at ZOT. Now, I'm going to go tear up some walls. God bless you.